take your books, your daily devotional books.
Amen.
Go to page 467, August 16th. It says this, and the title of it is The Object of Faith. Romans, this is a scripture, Romans 4:5, page 467. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. This is what the reading is. Whatever a believer places his faith in becomes the object of his faith. If we place our faith in the wrong object, then devastation and loss are a surety. If we place our faith in the proper object, then we will gain the supernatural benefits from doing so. If a man places his faith in a church, a religious action, or association with a particular denomination for salvation, that person will not make heaven his eternal home. Turn the page, 468. The Bible teaches us that saving faith must rest solely and singularly in the person of Christ and what he accomplished at Calvary on our behalf. Then and only then we are accepted into God's kingdom. After the initial salvation experience, the Bible teaches that the object of our faith is to remain in Christ alone. It must not be in what we do or how well we perform any particular task. As our faith remains unswerving in the power of God's grace, we will experience the supernatural sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul determined not to preach anything other than Christ and Him crucified, so that the faith of the people he ministered to would forever remain centered upon the person and redemptive work of Christ. What is the object of your faith? What are you putting your faith in? Don't put it in a religion. Don't put it in a denomination. Don't put it in a preacher. Don't put it in even yourself and what you do, your actions, how much you give or how much you don't give. None of those things. Our faith has to constantly be, the object of our faith is Christ and Him alone. You know how many people have a hard time with that? When they think all they've done and all they've given, God is pleased with, but that doesn't bring victory over sin. That doesn't bring victory. Only our faith in Christ and what He did as we put it in Him, it leashes out the Holy Spirit upon our lives to conquer and do the things that He calls us to do. That means we're to ever rely upon what Jesus did, and that's it. Ooh, my Lord, my Lord. Wow, amen. Oh, our God is a good God, people. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Verse 7, page 2078. Very familiar piece of scripture. And that's what we want. We want scripture. We need to know the word of God. Amen. It says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me read it again. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, my Lord. The question is, what do we do with the fear we will encounter in life? You know, there are many fears, you know, and I'm not talking about the fear of God. That's holy and fear, but I'm talking about fear that grips the heart of a man or a woman. You know, as we live life, things come at us in different areas of our lives. And, you know, and the enemy will try to bring fear upon your minds and upon also our hearts. What do you fear? You fear of growing old? Are you fearing of not having enough money when you get old? and you can't work anymore? Is there a fear of getting a letter in the mail from the IRS? Y'all don't realize how many we do deliver. I almost apologize as they're signing for it. You know, I'm so sorry I'm bringing this to you. Because you know it's not a check, you know. What do we fear in life? You know, sometimes you may fear starting a new job. School just started. Going into a new school or a new classroom or new teachers. You know, fearing things in life. What do you fear? Financial situations. You know, people, you know, fear the world itself. I mean, they'll stay in their homes and not get out. And nowadays, that's easy to do. You can order everything online and have it shipped to your house or delivered to your house. But I tell you what, that's not what God wants for his people. We are a human race that has to have human contact with other people. That's how we're made. It says with Adam and Eve that God would come at the cool of the day just to talk with them. You know, it doesn't say this, so I'm going to have to say it's me. Okay. It doesn't say this in the scripture, so I have to say it's me. I'm sure as he would talk to them, maybe he would take their hand every once in a while and they'd feel the Savior. How many times have we prayed and we just needed the arms of our Savior to grab a hold of us because of the hard time or the situation that we're going through, or just because we need a touch from our Savior? Can you imagine? People are in churches today and they're not feeling the Spirit of Almighty God in their churches at all. That's not good. But fear comes in at times, and it could be fear that's at a fleeting moment. And then all of a sudden, you know, okay. Or it could be fear of something that lasts a longer time. Now, I'm not talking about healthy fears of situations, but a fear that grips the heart of a woman or a man and won't let go. You see, God in his scripture, he says it to us, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart, and he didn't stop with the heart, and mind through Christ Jesus. My Lord, he knows what comes here affects here. What happens here affects here. The word of God changes our thought pattern. It changes how we look at things. You see, that's why non-Christians don't understand why we do certain things. Because the Word of God requires a Christian to do it. And because we love God, we do those things. We give, we do, we pray, we help. All those things that become natural because God has come in and now He abides in us. And we want to do what God wants us to do. And to fulfill the will of the Father upon the earth. You know this, angels can't come and preach the gospel. It has been delegated to humanity. It says that humans, us, have been made a little lower than the Godhead. We're above angels, people. So anybody that says, oh, my little angel, they're really degrading humanity. Not good. But as fear may try to step in, is what do we do with it? When the unexpected happens, you know, we don't know, unless God would show us, but we don't know. We live in life. We're going to work, you know. We put in 8 hours at least in, you know. They're paying us for that. We pay our bills. We do whatever. We give. We help. We go to the store. We do whatever we can, and we help our family, and we support and pray and do what God wants us to do. When things most dreaded becomes a reality in life, when the unthinkable or the unimaginable event occurs, we have to look to the verse, Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God, which surpasses all we can understand, shall keep our hearts and our minds, not in us, but in Christ Jesus. That means, let me tell you, we put our faith and our trust in Him, and we keep it before Him, and we keep it before His altar. What's on your mind or what's on your heart, bring it to the Lord. He's the only one that can solve it because you're His child and He cares about you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to help you in every area. But as you're going through the fear or the trauma of whatever it is, He wants you to have peace in your heart. Peace in our lives. peace within our hearts and souls, peace in our minds. He wants us to have peace. So we take that scripture and we believe it and we say, Lord, we thank you for the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that is upon my heart and my mind. Thank you, Lord, as I put my faith and my trust in you, because you are the object of my faith and no one else or nothing else is. The Bible assures us that God is always in attendance to us. Can you imagine? And he has promised that all who trust in him will not be put to shame. My Lord, my Lord, what a God. He will protect. He will help you. He will do what needs to happen in your heart and life to make sure you succeed. Might be some tough battles, but that's okay. Always remember, every battle you step into and God is there, you've won. Everyone. Our God is hitting 100. Not 85, not 55, not 25, but our God hits 100 every time because of who he is, the power of our God, what he can do and what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. We know this from 2 Samuel 1:7. It says, for God has not given us, we know that scripture, a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. God is wanting to stir up those scriptures and get you to start believing them again, people. Never to forget what God can do. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about it. Just take care of today. Know that God will supply for you today. He'll supply for you tomorrow, and he'll supply for you next year. That he will take control and he will do what needs to happen in your heart and in my life and make things happen. We are servants of the Almighty God. And honestly, we are children called by God to accomplish his will upon the earth. And God takes care of his people no matter what, no matter what. We can look in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and we see the move of God upon people's hearts and lives. My Lord, my Lord. A few days ago, I was in the break room at work, post office, and there was only three of us in there, and one guy started talking about, yeah, follow the light, follow the light. And I thought, oh, Lord, the enemy comes as an angel of light, too. You know, you kind of, and he was talking to this other guy, and I just happened to be sitting there. You know how that is. And yeah, just follow. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be Jesus. It could be Allah. It could be Buddha. Just follow the light. And I, ooh, when it comes to the Bible, that I can't stand when it's off course. And I was about to say something, and I just felt this. I said, okay, Lord. And the next morning, I prayed about that whole situation. I said, Lord, how can I correct it? What do you want to do about this? Well, you know, the next day is just me and that guy in the break room. No one else. Ooh, I said, Lord, what are you going to do? He said, I know, you know, and he named the guy that he was kind of talking. He said, I know he didn't get what, you know, what needs to happen. I said, well, probably not. But I said, you know what? He just opened the door. I said, the main focus of our lives is Jesus Christ. And I said, no one comes to the level of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross and him resurrecting from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And boy, he said, well, you know, I go to church and I do this and I give a little bit here or there. I said, it's nothing about what we do. And he took it. So you see, the Spirit of God was working. I said, it's nothing we do. It's who we accept as Lord and Savior. I said, it's all about him. And he'd say something else he would do. I said, no. I said, it's all about Jesus and what he did at Calvary's cross, putting our faith in what he did. And then the break, it's only 10 minutes, so it was over. But I said, Lord, you know. See, I could have came out and just, that is not, and it would have caused a stir to the hills. But I said, Lord, thank you for quieting my spirit and waiting the next day as you open that door, just him and I, to be able to, and he took it. It was like, wow. You walk out of that break room and you say, Lord, the power of God, thank you, Lord, and what you're doing in the hearts and lives of people. See, he's ever trying to draw by the Holy Ghost. So don't, every time God speaks, you do what he says. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. Page 752. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, people. We serve a great God. My Lord. He's so great unto us. Look at starting with verse 1. It said, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them, and others besides the Ammonites, page 752, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I know I heard some pages, so I want to make sure everybody's there. Okay. Somebody raised their hand and said, that's me. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Starting with verse 1 again. That's funny. It came to pass after that also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, there come a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Gehazi and Tamar, which is in Engal. Now, Jehoshaphat was over the southern kingdom of Judah. He had reigned for 25 years as king. You know, it was split, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There was a split. And he was over the southern kingdom for 25 years. But he was a good man. He was a godly ruler. And he loved the Lord and he sought God. He removed the idols in the southern part of Judah and sent teachers to instruct the people in God's law. You know what he did? He sent people to teach them the word of God. Look, every time the word of God is taught correctly, it brings life to the people. It doesn't bring bondage. No bondage. It brings life to the people. He instructed them. He took the idols out. I mean, that's how far Israel had become, or Judah, as it was split up. That's how far they'd become. They were setting up idols. Can you imagine? The people are now the people are their ancestors that he brought out of Egypt. That he opened the Red Sea, a miracle. As they walked on dry ground, a miracle. As he gave them manna from heaven, a miracle. Look at verse 3. And this is a great verse. It says, and Jehoshaphat, which was the king, feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. You see, they had these three armies, basically, that were coming against Judah. And he heard that it was a vast army. And you know what he did? He heard it and it brought fear to his heart. And he said, how will we stand and fight and win? Thank God he knew enough of the word of God to go to the God of the Bible. He went to Elohim, oh my Lord. He went to Jehovah God because he feared him. He had a reverence for him. And he said, he'll give us the answer. He will protect us. Even though sometimes we've gone astray. Look, we've all gone astray a little bit, huh? Here or there. What did God do to you? He brought you back, huh? Oh, my Lord, that's a loving God, people. That he'll say, come on now, that's enough, Joe. Come back this way. Don't go this way anymore. Come back this way. That's a loving God towards us. He brought Judah back unto him a little bit. And the king, thank God, sought the Lord. He sought God. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look, people, something happens, or even if something doesn't happen, seek God. Put that on the agenda of your life, to seek him. That doesn't mean you have to kneel down. You can. That doesn't mean you have to lay down and worship him. That doesn't mean you have to raise your hands and worship. Whatever. But to seek God with all your heart. He's looking for a people that do not have a divided heart. Half of the world and half of God. He wants a whole heart given unto him. And that doesn't mean if you give your whole life to him and your whole heart that you're going to lose anything. You might lose those things that have entangled you, and that's what we want. We want to be free to do what God says. We want to be free of sin and evil that grips the heart of humanity. And the only way that can happen is if we keep Jesus, the object of our faith, continuously. And as we do that, it says from the Father, he leashes out the Holy Spirit unto us. We need the operation of the Holy Spirit. We need God to touch our hearts. We need God to touch our lives. We need a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon us. And look, they started to seek the Lord, to seek him. Thank God for that. You see, God put that in Jehoshaphat, the king. Hey, I know he didn't make all the right decisions because you can read it. He didn't do everything right. But he had a heart for God a little bit somewhere there. And he sought God and he said, what can we do because of this vast army that's coming? Let me tell you this, the enemy will come at you like a flood. Things will start to fall apart. But we also know that God is in charge and we are his children. And God will lift up the standard and say, that's enough. But I tell you what, he will allow certain things to come to change us. Just enough to change our hearts and lives and for us to do and get and be where God wants us to be. Because we've given our hearts to him. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The third person of the Godhead lives inside of us. And he is wanting to clean us up. He's wanting to lead us. He's wanting to guide us and help us in every decision we have to make. My Lord, my Lord. Look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before a new court. They went to the church. That was the church. That was the church. And said, and this is what he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are not you God in heaven? We know he is. And rule not you over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Yes, he does. And in your hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? We know there's none. Verse 7, are not you our God who drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? He's reminding God, people. Do you think God forgot? No. That's why God loves for us to know scripture. To remind him, it says, remind him of his word. It's not that he has amnesia and he forgets. He doesn't have that. He wants his people to know the word of God. That we can quote it back to him and say, Father, this is what your word says. I stand upon your word. Building our faith in him to believe him for what he's put in our hearts upon this earth. Look at verse 10. And we'll read a few more. It says, and now before the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Now I want you to look at verse 13. So here we see they're all coming together to seek God. Things happen when people seek God. I look at yourself. What had to happen in your life to turn you and I to him? Did we almost have to lose everything? When we couldn't look forward, we couldn't look back, we couldn't look to the left or to the right because nothing was there. God allowed it so that we would look up and look to him and seek him because he knew the direction that we were going was not going to help us in life. It would destroy us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do to your heart, your life, my heart, and my life. To kill us if he can. To steal from us and to destroy us in any way or any capacity that he can. But we stand firm, not in ourselves, but in a God who knows what's happening. We stand firm in him knowing that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he can make things happen. He's the one that can feed millions of people that came out of Egypt with a bread that didn't get dirty at all. As it came out every morning, except on the Sabbath, a few inches off the ground, called manna. My Lord, my people, it should have taken them, I think, 13 days or so to get to the promised land. And after a month, God said, I got to feed them because they ran out of food. And for 40 years, they went around in the desert. Don't walk around in the desert. And I'm talking about the desert of life. Don't walk around in the desert wondering where you are, what are you here, what are you here for? God gives you a purpose to serve him. God gives you a purpose to praise him and to honor him and to know that he is in control. Let me tell you, there's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. My Lord, God can bring the wayward son and daughter back to him. Just like I shared about that doctor for 60 or so years. My Lord, because of the hurt and the anger and the bitterness, God used a devastating event in someone else's life to draw him by the Holy Ghost. My Lord, what God can do to draw him, to him, that doctor, to be at the altar of that church crying and asking God for forgiveness. See, if the enemy can get one little hole in your heart, He'll plant doubt of the word. He'll even plant doubt of there even being a God. My Lord, my Lord. And we don't want that to happen. We trust him in who he is. My Lord, if God could bring Saul back, Saul to him, now renamed Paul, God could do anything. From a man that would go and destroy Christians, killing them, putting them in prison. And he was thinking he was doing God's work. But you see, they had a secret agent of things to do. They were praying. They couldn't do anything else because they didn't have authority, but they could pray. And they prayed to the God, and they didn't know what God would do. But God showed his power and presence to Saul, Paul, and wrote 13 books of the New Testament. My Lord, what God can do, huh? Look at this, verse 13. And Judah stood before the Lord. Look, people, every morning or so, stand before the Lord. And I'm not saying you have to stand before him, but get before the Lord. Get before him somehow, some way, that he can move and do with their little ones, their wives, and their children. That means the men, the women, the children were all before the Lord. And God started to move. You see, when we humble ourselves, you might say, as a Christian, we have to humble. Yes, we do. When we humble ourselves before God, and I know, like if you kneel, you're humbling before someone. You know, you're humbling before your God. When we humble ourselves before him, God leashes out the Holy Spirit upon us and wants to move in us like never before. It says, then upon Jezeel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathiah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, came, and this is the changing element, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You see, they were in church, people. It might have not been like this. I know it's not like this. But they were out of the synagogue there, and they were seeking God. No human being was left home. The men, the women, the children, the elderly, the feeble, everyone had to come. And they humbled themselves before God and said, we need help. We have these big armies of the Ammonites and all that that's coming. And they're not coming to bring us some stuff, good stuff. They're coming to kill us and destroy us. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started to move. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken you. That means listen closely. You and all Judea, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, says the Lord unto you, be not afraid, O my Lord. He's telling him, look, don't be afraid. You see, look, God's on his throne. He sees the earth. He sees what's happening in Gaidon. He sees what's happening in Lafayette. He sees what's happening, O Lord, in Washington. He sees what's happening in California, my Lord. And he sees what's happening in New York. He knows what's going on throughout the world. So they pray to the King of Kings, and he's telling them, I see the vast army. Don't be afraid. Because fear had set in Jehoshaphat. But when the Spirit of God moves upon a people, or moves in your home, or moves in your churches, that flees from the people. And we're able to accomplish what God wants under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. As fear came in, the Spirit of God came in, wiped that away. And look, can you imagine you going through a situation and somebody comes and prays over you and says, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. You're going, they don't know what I'm going through. Lord, help me. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of things in life. Don't be afraid of what may or may not happen. Well, this could happen in 20 years. Well, so what? What are you going to do for 20 years? Come on now. Because fear paralyzes the church. Fear paralyzes an individual. Fear paralyzes the body of Christ. Fear paralyzes the church, the body of Christ, and the individual. But the Spirit of God lets the church loose. Pow. Be not afraid of that army, nor dismayed. My Lord, he goes a step further, not even dismayed. By reason of this, great multitude for the battle is not yours, but God's. My Lord, you should have shouted. This is not your battle, but this is the Lord's. Everything you go through, if you give it to Him and you let Him work on those things, it is not your battle. So why take it on? Why take it on? Why? What we have to do is give it to Him and saying, Lord, that is your battle. Lord, you handle it. You take care of it. And you let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because the world doesn't understand it. And honestly, I don't understand it either. How that peace can come on an individual, but it's the power of Almighty God. That you don't have to wake up in fear how I'm going to pay this or that. You don't have to wake up in fear where I'm going to live. My Lord, God will handle it. And can you imagine? He has mansions for us in heaven. None of this stuff around here can compare to what's in heaven. We'll walk on streets of gold. My Lord, my Lord. Gold down here is one of the almost priceless. I mean, it's just cost a lot. But to God, He said, put that on the streets. I want to walk barefoot a little bit on the gold. Just a little bit. Might have a few people trying to cut some off. I don't know, but look at this, babe. Great. It is not your battle to carry. It will kill you. It will kill you physically. You overburdened. You start to walk like this in the spirit realm because you're trying to carry things. You know, honestly, I don't worry about stuff with the church. Honestly, I don't. I don't. You can ask Delaine. I pray about it. And Lord, if we have it, thank you, Lord. I believe it. If we don't, we don't. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses church down the street at all. But I do want the Spirit of God in this place. Because I know the Spirit of God will change things and will make things happen. You can have the best church with the best stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if the Spirit of Almighty God is not dwelling in that building, it is worthless. You might as well take a match and just blow it up because it's not worth much. Now, to humanity, it's worth a lot, but to God, He could care less. He wants the people's hearts. He wants your heart not to be divided unto Him. This God, Jezeel, thank God for him. That God spoke to him and he was not afraid to speak up. He said, look, Jehoshaphat, look, men, women, children, boys, girls, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Verse 17, and you shall not need to fight in this battle. Can you imagine? He says it. You won't need to fight, Judah. Just watch and see what I can do. People sometimes we have to take action. But at this point, they didn't have to take any action. All they had to do was seek God, humble themselves, seek God. And God did what He wanted to do. He saw their fear, but He said, have faith in me, what I can do. The devil will try to put fear in the hearts of people. He can bring it, but we can stop it. But I said, how do you stop it? Well, get the word of God. See, this is what the Bible says. And you declare that upon yourself, my Lord, that God is able to change those things and make things happen. Look, God fulfills His promise. Look, go down to verse 20. Well, look at verse 18 before we do that. And I just want to read it. And it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judea and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. After they they sought God. They had fear first. They sought God. He spoke to Jezeel. He gave the word, be not afraid. For the Lord the battle is the Lord's, not ours. And they came back and they worshiped God with their face to the ground. That means they were yielding their lives. They knew, but they believed God that He could do it. Look at verse 22 and we're about to end. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children, there's different things they say probably happened. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and utterly to kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. You know what happened? Inward fighting. They killed one another. God brought confusion. The children of Israel or Judah didn't know what God would do, but they trust him. See, we don't know what God will do in our situations. We don't know what God may make happen. But you see, we trust him. We put our faith in him. And he handles the battle. That's who we have to trust. Let him handle the battle, because he can make things happen. We serve, and you serve, and I serve a great God, like we sang. Great is our God. Great is your God, my Lord. They turned on themselves as the children of Israel got up from worshiping God, and they were praising and singing worship songs unto him. No telling what they were singing, I don't know. It says in the comments here that they think that angels came and confused them, the enemy, and they turned on themselves and started killing one another. They didn't even have to take their swords out. They didn't have to do anything. See, that's what happens when we give things to the Lord. He takes care of those things. He makes things happen. No matter what's happening in our hearts and lives, God will take it, and he will make things happen. That's the kind of God we serve. My Lord, the Father looks down on us. He sees us as crucified with his Son, raised with Jesus, and now seated at his right hand together with Christ. My Lord, people, Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, that's the scripture. Here we are, we're seated with him. He looks down, that's what he sees, us, that we've been crucified with Christ. Not that we did it, but because we put our faith in him. We've been raised from the dead because of Jesus. And now we're seated at the right hand of the Father. My Lord, with him and what he has done. We need to be thankful and grateful, we're about to close, that we have a God we can lean on in difficult times, people. He promises to secure our hearts and settle our minds with peace, especially in the event of a fearful situation. He is the God of all peace, and he enables his people to face adversity with strength and assurance of victory. Those who rest in him will not be put to shame. Philippians 4:7, as we read from the beginning, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, because of who he is. If I were you, this afternoon, when you go home, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's in the Old Testament. I know that's like a book we hardly ever read, but so Chronicles chapter 20, and read it all and get the meat of the word to 21 and just get it in your spirit, page 752, and let God speak to you and build your faith to believe God.